Hello, you're listening to the Glass Recording Podcast Thursday Live Sessions Replay. This week we are doing one with Alex Roberts. Yes, this is the first of many sessions we'll be putting out over the next few weeks. This was recorded in November of 2015 with Alex Roberts, and I was inspired by this because we went to a gig last night to watch Alex Roberts play one of Dank Russo's gigs at the Avalon Club. But we are going to be putting these sessions out quite a lot in future because... probably every Sunday, actually, because I recorded so many live sessions on Thursday Live, and it seems a shame to waste them. So this is a bit of a reminisce to sort of put out some of the great sessions that we recorded in the past. There were so many. I mean, I've got over 300 shows online anyway that I can sort of take all this stuff off. So hopefully putting this on Spotify will give you something exciting to listen to. Right, anyway, let's get on with it. And this is the intro to Alex Roberts. We did this interview as a pre-record, not last Sunday, the Sunday before, at Dan Caruso's birthday party. He had some brilliant acts down there, Sam Lewis, and also the Alex Roberts trio. And on the Sunday, we popped in here and did an interview with the Alex Roberts trio. So here it is. Right, so here we are with the Alex Roberts trio, and they've just had a cracking night down at the Hawthorns and come down especially to record a Sunday morning session for us, going out on the Thursday. All right, guys?
Yeah. Hello, morning.
Yeah, morning. So, yeah. Well, first things first, we'll get you to kick off with a song, and then we'll have a bit of an interview in a minute.
Sounds good. We're going to start off with a song from an old album. The album's called Love and Supernatural, and the song's called Sweet Surrender.
Okay. lovely. That's lovely. Yeah, well, it's nice to have you here on Glastonbury FM. You're in the middle of a UK tour at the moment, aren't you?
Never-ending tour.
Yeah. A never-ending tour.
It's European now, so we're after Leo and
yes, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're quite an established musician. You've been going for a long, long time. How's your career built over the, well, over the many years that you've been going?
Mostly with blood, sweat and tears. All off my own back. So MySpace changed everything like 15 years ago, and I was able to do a lot of my own bookings, and I just spent a lot of time on the road, meeting people, driving to new gigs, living out of a van or a car or a teepee.
Yeah.
And writing music on the road, which is where the magic happens.
Yeah.
Slack magic.
So what was your inspiration to become a musician in the first place?
The cockerel from Disney's Robin Hood.
Really? Yeah. So, in what way was that then?
It's the first film I ever saw at the cinema, and I was probably 4 or 5, and I just wanted to tell stories like he does.
Okay.
You know, the cockerel that tells all the stories, does the narrator.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Since then, I've listened to other musicians.
No, but so it's quite an interesting background to what got you into music then. And do you find, is your music more about storytelling? Or
it's really driven by the song.
Yeah.
And the music is a vehicle for telling a story. So, and that's increasingly actually over the years that I've been playing, because I really started off just as a guitar player in a grunge band, and that's what I wanted to do. And I did for a while, toured with quite a successful group, and but then someone owed me some money and couldn't pay me, so they gave me a box set of Nick Drake's music.
Okay.
And that was like, oh right, okay, this is what songwriting's all about, really.
Yeah.
And that kind of led me back to the stuff that my dad had been telling me I ought to be listening to. Like Dylan and so it's always a vehicle. The music is always a vehicle for the song.
So at the time, you know, as you had a reputation in another genre, was it a bit scary just ripping everything up and going off at another angle?
No, the hard thing was getting the right hand thumb moving so that I could play bass lines at the same time as lead lines. That took several years.
Yeah, yeah.
But I suppose I sort of became a bit of a control freak about the song, actually. And it's much easier to craft a song when you're on your own, because, you know, when you play on your own.
Yeah.
And so I played on my own for years and met Graham a couple of years ago. And it was like, we just didn't need to rehearse. We didn't need to do anything. It just like gelled straight away.
It is that easy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is that easy?
Yeah.
Both of our records that we've done together have been done in about 2 hours.
Graham plays double bass and baritone guitar. And so we played at a festival last summer in Dorset, and Graham and I, and happened to meet our lovely friend here on my right, Mr. James Pinnock, who's opened a studio down the road from where I live, and we ended up a couple of days after the festival in the studio making an album as a trio.
Yeah.
And again, it all boils down to slack magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Should say, I met James and I were both at Durham University studying mushrooms about 20 years ago.
Okay.
This for me is weird because I've known Alex for 10, 12 years, but it's two of my very, very best friends kind of came together.
Yeah,
and then he was like, "Oh, we've got I've got a new studio. Do you want to make the record?" And so we just all in one day. Yeah,
you put the whole album down in one day.
No, it was just a few hours. No, that story was all one day.
Oh, sorry.
We met him at a festival in the morning.
Yeah,
I went to his house for Sunday lunch, and then Alex came round, who happened to just live around the corner.
Yeah.
From my mate from 20 years ago.
A couple of nights later, and then 6 hours after you came round.
And a barrel of beer.
And a barrel of beer. The album.
Badger beer.
That album was recorded.
Oh, that's the way to go. And
does it mix it?
Yeah. Does it feel more comfortable as a trio now? I mean, are you finding this is where you want to be now?
Yeah, I love it. It's more of an interesting dynamic sonically, visually, and like I say, like the music for me is always a vehicle for the song. So that vehicle has just got
more seats.
More seats.
Yeah, but judging by outside, you all managed to fit in the same vehicle as well, which isn't a bad thing for touring. So it's a really good. Right, okay. Well, we'll get you on to another song if you're okay with that.
Yeah, we're going to do a song from an album called Waiting on the Sun Again, which is a slide guitar album called The Pyramid.
Okey-dokey.
Just a mirror, you'll watch yourself every day. Yes, a screen is just a mirror. Yourself every day. When there ain't no harvest for the world, when there ain't no harvest for the world, I'll sing rain down to the nation. Lay your gun upon the table, rain down illumination. This ain't no temple. It's a pyramid scheme. So dress your children up as bankers. Teach them logic as a rule. Dress your children up as bankers. Suit and tie and off to school. When there ain't no harvest for the world. When there ain't. prophets. A new Rome rises every day. Should have kept to equinox. Life is simpler that way. When there ain't no worries for the world, when there ain't no worries for the world, I say, bring down the nation, lay your gun upon the table. It's a pyramid scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. It's the pyramid scheme.
Excellent stuff.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah. How have you found the reception for the latest album then?
It's been great, actually. So it's released on Halloween.
Yeah.
And it's been getting some really good reviews from folk magazines and blues magazines. It's quite a crossover kind of.
Yeah.
People have called it sort of folk blues or folk trance, it was called in one magazine.
Folk trance?
Yeah, not really sure what that is exactly.
That probably had something to do with your mushroom background, I think.
That was their mushroom background.
Okay. Yeah.
My mushroom background's very different.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been going really well and getting a lot of radio and press. So, and it's a good album.
Yeah. And.
Yeah,
I think everyone listening to this show should go out and buy it.
I'd buy one.
Well, yeah,
I bought quite a few of them.
A couple of thousand.
That's all right. Well, you must be confident, you know, when you go out and tour, you sort of go out and sell the albums and with it. I mean, do you find you just get like queues of people coming up to you to try and get the album? And
sometimes. It's an odd one, that, because some crowds... it depends where you go, but some people don't buy CDs anymore. It's an archaic thing, isn't it? A CD to a lot of people.
But it's a different thing at gigs, though. If you're at a gig, it's like taking something back to remind you of
Trophy.
In fact, a little
scribble on it and all that.
Folk festivals, the queues are often massive.
That can take a while.
Yeah, so you go and play like a 45-minute set and then guarantee another hour afterwards.
It's great. It's just meeting people. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's half the fun of touring.
Yeah.
Actually, the last folk festival we did, I got invited to join a Grove of Druids.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, which is quite
Did you cool. think of taking them up on that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. And was it interesting?
I haven't been along yet.
Okay.
You can't talk about it. He's been up to all sorts.
Yeah.
They'll throw him out of the Grove if he...
Mum's the word.
Well, what one of our DJs and presenters there, ZZ Birmingham, he's a blues man and he's a head druid himself.
Really?
As well, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Not surprisingly round here, but...
It's part of... I do consider songwriting is part of the bardic tradition, isn't it? Obviously, so if you really believe in what you're doing, then you're halfway there anyway as a songwriter to being a druid, because that's what they did. So you know that it's the sacred wisdom keepers, isn't it? And those stories never change.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many songs I write, they'll always somehow be related to the folk songs of yore, and because it's all just archetypal, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, it's quite bluesy, your music. You're quite pleased to have that crossover and the folk following as well.
Yeah, definitely. Blues is folk music anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, sure
is.
And culture in the West is so cross-pollinated, and it would be a shame to. It would be a shame to separate it. I'm all for keeping like unique traditions alive in music, and there's definitely a place for, you know, Gaelic folk music or Cornish folk music, and that would be in Scotland or Cornwall.
Yeah.
I suppose, but all those musics are relevant and should be combined in some way. And
it's like when I were a lad, yeah, to buy records, you had to go and look through like 1,000 records and find that one you'd been after and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So like now, kids can, well, anyone can just type in and watch it all on YouTube, you know. So you can find out everything about the blues in half an hour. So you can't really say that because you're from one place anymore, you know more about the music because you're from there. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember talking to a guy in a blues band in Memphis about the blues and stuff, and he was just like, I don't really care, I don't know anything about it. And I was like, do you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is that like the world's a very small place now, and music is totally unchanged.
Well, the other thing as well, you get all these tags and recommendations. So you listen to something, Simpson says, you know, have a listen to this thing from the past, you know.
I used to have a scrap of paper like with records that mates recommended in my back pocket, but now you can just type it in your phone and put it on your Spotify playlist. It's crazy.
Yeah. And you find it, it's like, you know, you finding any youngsters sort of getting into your music as well now?
Yeah, definitely.
Surprising, I think.
I think it's got quite a, well, I hope it's got quite a wide appeal.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not trying to create that. We're not trying to create that, but I think if, well, personally, when I hear something, if it's sincere and it's got a soul, I like it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. And touring wise, you like you said, you constantly tour. And you got any more gigs coming up in the locality and in the near future, or is it?
It'll probably be. We're doing a bit. We're going to France and Brussels next week, and then. We're sort of looking ahead really at a spring tour. Now we've got a few shows around the UK over the winter, but winter time I've always found is a good time to sort of regroup and write. And summertime is about hitting the road, and so this summer every weekend since March it's been a festival or two or three, right up to last weekend. So it's important to take some time out of that, and
There seems to be that sort of like setup now where like a lot of groups or artists and that, they'll go out whole summer's festival because that's where, you know, you get the bread and you get the exposure and what have you.
No, you don't.
Well, all right.
You might correct you.
All right.
On that one point.
All right. Well, hopefully
you do a lot of gigs though.
By selling a lot of albums, you make some money or whatever. But you get the exposure. But then, after then, it's all about sitting, getting down, and writing, and then release out before you tour.
Yeah, there's definitely a process to that.
Which
works, I think. Although having said that, I've never actually followed that process until this year. So this is the sixth album I've put together, and I think I might have just finally worked out how you do it properly. But like I said, I've done it all off my own back, and I've been doing it all off my own back for 20 years.
Right. And it is, I mean, that must have been hard in it. Yeah, I mean, if you've been doing it for 20 years, I mean, when you were starting off, there wasn't really that ethos of a solo singer songwriter, even like you know, it was back then, it was more,
there was an unplugged thing though.
Yeah, there was,
I think that's where a lot of, I mean, certainly I got into playing double bass because everyone suddenly wanted to do an acoustic gig, and I had a double bass, you know, like the kind of MTV Unplugged,
that Nirvana Unplugged album, really. It was quite an inspiration to me.
Yeah
I think that was a point when I and a lot of my friends discovered that it's not so much about how loud your amp is or your distortion pedal. A song can have a real power on an acoustic instrument. that was like watching Stone Temple Pilots and Pearl Jam and Nirvana Unplugged. Who really stood out was like, you know, it's the power of the song, not the size of the Marshall stack. Or
and now all those big grunge singers and that, they're all making acoustic albums, aren't they? So there you go.
They can do anything they want, can't they?
Well, they can, that's true.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get you to play your last song, best place to find out about Alex Roberts and the Alex Roberts Trio?
The Alex Roberts Trio, which for short we call TART. www.alexrobertsmusic.com.
Yeah.
All the gig dates are on there. If you want to support us by buying music, don't go to iTunes or Spotify. You will find it there, but the money goes more or less to them.
Yeah.
So get the CD through the website that I just mentioned.
Right.
AlexRobertsMusic.com.
You can stream it there as well.
Yeah, but I'd rather you buy it.
Yeah, it'd be better if you bought it.
I've got bloody loads of them. It'd be good to get rid of some.
All right, that's a great thing. Okay, well, thanks for coming on. And what song would you like to finish up with then?
well, because it's obviously leading up to the Halloween or Samhain, we're going to finish off with a ghost story, an old traditional English song called The Demon Lover.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Just returned from the salt, salt sea, and it's all for love of thee. And I hear that you're marrying the house carpenter. Will you go along with me? I'll take you where grass grows green, on the banks of sunny Italy. Oh, they'd not been on that ship about 3 weeks, and I'm sure it was no more. They sprang a leak, the bottom of the ship, sank and never rose no more.
Oh, well, thanks very much for coming in, and hope you enjoyed the rest of the tour. And
thank you very much.
Hope we get to see you back in Glastonbury soon.